Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt. Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker. Burkhart.
Here.
60 present.
The prayer of today is offered by our very own chaplain, Chairman Teeters.
Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our colleagues and the friendships that we have on this floor. I pray that you would give us wisdom today. I pray for safety for our families at home as they do the duties that they do and as they take care of the responsibilities that we've left behind. I pray that we would honor you today by the way we treat each other and by the way we do our business. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
With that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 28, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
The doctor of the day is Larry Kirvin, MD, from Buffalo, Wyoming. Welcome, Dr. Kirvin. The nurse of the day is our own Representative Kesperick. Chairman Gingrey, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a few different introductions this morning. Let me actually start with my parents. My mother up here and my father, my mother presently works for the Commissioner of Higher Education for the state of Montana, and my father is retired now but used to work in the Reagan White House. He was in charge of all public lands between all the cabinet departments and then went on to be the special assistant to the Secretary of Interior. So those are my parents.
Welcome to the House.
And then standing here next to me is our page of the day, is Alexandra, my daughter. She is 8. She's in second grade. She does gymnastics, and she does dance and ballet and taekwondo. And she also is quite the skier. And so, Alexandra.
Welcome to the House. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, please join me in welcoming down from Cody some great folks, great friends. They run a small and growing company, Wyoming Arms, that manufactures firearms here in Wyoming, and which is exactly what we need, a growing manufacturing business. So welcome Jeff Licey, John Burns, and Jeff's wife, who's here as well. So please welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. We have a special event going on in the committee room. The legislative spouses are doing Read Across America. And so if you have a chance, when we're not doing anything here today, please go up and join them. This is also a very special day for me. We all signed a joint resolution earlier in the week, and I'd like to read it. There's a piece of artwork down here that was donated to the legislature earlier this session by a good friend of mine, Paul Walda. And whereas Paul won his first painting award at the age of 14, and the prize was a set of oil paints, and while his first one-man exhibit occurred in high school, and these early successes propelled his trajectory into the arts, and whereas his work appeared in major galleries in Jackson, Scottsdale, Arizona, New York City, and Santa Fe, New Mexico, the Bradford Britton Memorial, and the Museum in Bighorn, the Buffalo Bill Art Show and Sale Invitational in Cody, the Nicolaysen Art Museum Invitational in Casper, the Yellowstone Art Museum Invitational in Billings, Montana, the Hockaday Museum Invitation in Kalispell, Montana, the C.M. Russell Exhibition in Great Falls, Montana, and the Settlers West Miniature Show in Tucson, Arizona. And whereas Paul's work is a reflection of his deep and abiding love of the natural world that he cultivated as a child growing up and hiking in the mountains of Montana, and has fueled his lifelong passion to capture nature's beauty through Western landscapes. And whereas he has spent 25 years backpacking and skiing in remote areas of the Cloud Peak Wilderness in the Bighorn Range and the Absaroka Beartooth Wilderness in Montana, further honing his craft through interaction with his environment. Whereas nature is a constant inspiration for his work and is evident in his oil pastel, Winter Solitude in the Bighorns, which he donated to the Wyoming Legislature through the Wyoming Legislative Artwork Donation Program. And whereas the Wyoming Legislative Artwork Donation Program was created by the Wyoming Legislature to celebrate the arts in Wyoming, and the goal of the program is to acquire and display appropriate artwork that represents Wyoming in our capital. And whereas Paul's donation to the Wyoming Legislature is truly representative of all that we hold dear about the great outdoors of our beloved state, and his oil pastel is a fine example of the types of art we endeavor to display in this magnificent building, Now therefore be it resolved by the State of Wyoming Legislature that the members of the Wyoming Legislature sincerely thank Mr. Waldom for his donation to the Wyoming Legislative Artwork Donation Program, and that his commitment of artists such as Mr. Waldom, he be celebrated in the hallowed halls and chambers of Wyoming's capital, that he may take great pride in knowing that the members of the Wyoming Legislature and those who visit the Wyoming Capitol will be reminded of the tranquility of Wyoming's open spaces that we all love whenever we view this painting, that this resolution be transmitted to Mr. Waldom so that he may know our appreciation for this significance, contribution to the Wyoming Legislature's program to celebrate the arts and talented artists that grace our state. And then it's signed by all of us. Thank you, Paul.
I'm very humbled to be here today, and I want to thank you for this opportunity. We all owe special thanks to people in our lives. I owe it to my family and also to teachers when I was growing up that got me excited about the arts, and I've persevered ever since. I've had a chance to meet some of you at the Buffalo Bill Art Show in Salem, Cody. I do the quick draw there where we have 1 hour to paint a picture, and they ring a bell. We start. At the end of the hour, we stop. There's probably 600 people that watch us during the process. Some people try to talk to you while you're doing that. I can only think that it's a part of what you guys go through every day in trying to make the decision-making. So I want to thank you for all your hard efforts and work that you've done. And I'm very humbled, and I want to thank people that have helped me in my life, and I'm very honored to do something for our state of Wyoming.
With that order of business of bills on second reading. Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to introduce to you in the whatever direction that is, the North Gallery, students from Alta Vista Elementary, and do we also have Henderson up there? Alta Vista and Henderson. Fifth graders from those schools. I'm sorry I don't have all the teachers' names, but I see... Oh, there we go. We have Mrs. Holt, Mrs. Maley, not Mrs. Holt, Mr. Van Overbrook. And Mrs. Maley had the privilege or the misfortune of having two out of my three sons, and we're very happy to have them here. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the house. Anybody else? Let's go to work. With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 10 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hear no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17 with the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance.
Senate File 17 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to special elections.
Senate File 24 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections.
Senate File 25 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 31 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48 from the Tribal Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board.
Senate File 48 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67 from the Management Council, an act relating to administrative procedure.
Senate File 67 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68 from the Management Council, an act relating to the general revision of laws.
Senate File 68 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80.
Senate File 80 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to real estate licensure.
There is an amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During our debate on Friday, there was some concern on page 2 of line 16, 17, 18, that general vicinity, discussing the ability to for a real estate agent to represent property that's being sold as well as people that are looking to buy property. So this amendment simply strengthens what was trying to be stated there, and I would ask for your aye vote. Are there any questions?
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Seeing no other discussion, and sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 80. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 80 has been adopted. House Bill 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80, or Senate File 83.
Senate File 83 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to oil and gas.
Senate File 80, there is an amendment. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 83 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, all we're doing here is going in and recognizing that, you know, costs are a little bit different for these various depths of wells. It concerns me a great deal that the shallow wells, CBM in particular, you'd be bonding the surface for $10,000 when sometimes, you know, this is the type of equipment used on that is the same as a water well. Those of you who have drilled water wells, it's very small equipment, has minimal impact. A $10,000 bond on something like that for surface damages is too much. It's that simple. So what I did is I tried to come up with something that would work, you know, and basically what this amendment does is if the well is less than 2,000 feet in depth, the bonding remains at 2,000. If it's from 2,000 to 5,000 feet, the bonding is set at 5,000. And greater than 5,000, the bonding does what the bill originally did, sets the bonding at $10,000. So, again, this makes it somewhat more palatable. I still think I'm probably a no on the bill, but maybe this will sway a few to vote for it and not kill the bill. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the bringer of the amendment because actually this is an acknowledgement that there is an issue and that we do need to address it. A few things that I think we should keep in mind is that the basis of the Surface Owner Accommodation Act was under coal bed methane development, and that is something that's a past thing now. So the fact that we're talking about even wells less than 2,000 feet is probably a moot point. So that provision is unnecessary. Second part I'd point out is this is tying a surface activity to the depth of the well. I think if we were going to tie it, we would actually tie it to something that was associated with the surface and the use that the private landowner would be absorbing. The third thing is, I guess, in the way this is drafted, I'm unsure that this gives the same latitude to the Oil and Gas Commission to increase the bond should the case be made by the landowner, by the property owner. As it is in current B language, it shall not be less than 2,000 under the proposal 10,000, whereas this adds a new section that says shall be in the following amounts, not less than, etc. So I think that this actually does some other things that provide some conflict. So I would be against the amendment for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, we have a bill in front of us. This adds complexity to it that renders parts of it almost unenforceable. Again, to echo the comments of the previous speaker, tying depth to surface displacements and destruction on here is just something that we don't want to go. It makes it much more complicated. We have a bill before us that actually works and can be executed in the field. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, what this is going to do, it's not going to affect the big companies that you see operating out there. What this is going to affect are your neighbors who have small operations, maybe a few coal bed methane wells. Frankly, on an inexpensive well that is essentially a stripper well, they're not going to be able to drill it now with this additional $10,000 in bonding on those shallow wells. This doesn't affect the deeper stuff that do have a bigger impact on the rancher. It will affect the small operator. This will cost small operator jobs. This will harm the revenue stream for those small operations. It's a minuscule amount, but it does make a difference, and it keeps people in the game. For when the markets go up, these guys get bigger. When the market goes down, right now, they're just trying to survive. So I encourage you to vote for this.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 83. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair's in doubt. All in favor, please stand. As opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 83 has failed. Senate File 83 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 86.
Senate File 86 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to roads and highways.
There is an amendment, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86 and ask for your favorable approval. Again, this goes to page 2, line 18, and inserts the following language. With respect to obstruction of public easements and public right-of-ways, this subsection shall not apply to any vehicle in which the driver is present or the vehicle is inoperable and awaiting repair or tow. And the purpose of this amendment is, again, if someone pulls off the road into the right-of-way, to be careful. They're tired. They're falling asleep. They may take a nap for 3 or 4 hours. I don't want them to get a ticket for parking in the right-of-way. Same thing would go if your vehicle breaks down. I don't know exactly what the mechanism now the sheriff or highway patrol have for ticketing a vehicle that's parked there too long, but I think they put a warning on it first and give them a day or two to move it. If your vehicle breaks down in some of these lonely stretches of road, it might take you 24 hours to get a repair or a tow on that particular vehicle. So I just want to make it clear that you can't be ticketed for that.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm a co-sponsor, and I feel bad because I missed this Friday afternoon to explain what the senator down the hall was trying to do with this bill. These are actually actions filed by the county attorney, so they're not really tickets. It's when someone is actually put an obstruction so you can't get down the road. And where this comes in is more of our rural counties when they're trying to they send a grader down the road, down a county road, or they're trying to fix the culvert, or they're trying to mow the side of the county road, and somebody has obstructed it. It's usually not dealing with vehicles. It's other types of obstructions, and they were having a problem in this particular senator's county with people blocking. The amendment really isn't really applicable, but it doesn't really hurt anything either, so I just vote for it. It's fine. It's not really what they're after. They're not after cars. What they're after is obstructions in that particular county.
Chairman's won it, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to echo everything the fine chairman of the judiciary said, and also when you have to pull over to the side, they do have a mechanism where they sticker your car and give you 5 days or 3 days to make sure it's removed. And I think the bill is intended for things that are pre-planned, like a week ahead of time, and that's where they actually go out and send notices to people and let them know that they're coming, as we mentioned on Friday. So I would be a no vote on this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
All in favor, please rise. That was a quiet bunch of ayes. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86 has passed. Senate File 86 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89.
Senate File 89 from Senator Landon, an act relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 89 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100.
Senate File 100 is introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the Business Ready Community Program.
Senate File 100, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 101.
Senate File 101 from Senator Von Flatton, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 101, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, from Senator Bebout, an act relating to insurance.
Senate File 107, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115 from Senator Driscoll, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 115, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116 from Senator Burns, an act relating to criminal procedure.
There is an amendment. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 and would ask for your aye vote. This would simply add all of the felonies under our game and fish statutes to the list of expungement possibilities. And believe it or not, this is being considered a friendly amendment by the sponsor of the bill. So what a tangled web we weave. I would ask for your aye vote.
Is there anyone else want to speak on for the first time, second time? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, you know, I look at the game and fish penalties section, and I'm appalled at that you get far more punishment for taking animals out of season or without the proper licensure than you do for beating your wife or for even beating your dog. There are so many things that you can get away with for far less than the game and fish violations, and they keep telling us over and over again that we have to because they're stealing our trophy game, they're stealing our big stuff, they're hunting at the wrong time. And so if the game and fish is really serious about making this stick, if they're really serious about making sure by the high fines that they impose or that they recommend that we impose, then why are we going to turn around and expunge these records, particularly if they expect the damages from their game and fish violations to be so egregious that it turns them into felonies?
Anyone else for their first time? Second time. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 116 has passed. Senate File 116 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that a business of adoption of conference, joint conference committee reports. The only joint conference committee report we have is the joint conference committee report number 1 on Senate file or House bill number 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, you have two handouts in your tray. One is legal size. Looks like the cheat sheet. It's titled the Cheat Sheet Joint Conference Committee Report. And so we'll be working off that. The second page you have actually has the language of those Joint Conference Committee amendments. And so we'll try to reference that. It's talking about the cheat sheet. It's real similar to what we've used in the past. And you can see the action that was taken on the far left column where it says JCC action. And you can see the first one, adopt house. So there's going to be one of three things happen. Well, maybe four. We're going to adopt the House or adopt the Senate or delete House or Senate. And then, but more commonly what you will see is delete and further amend. And so where we work somewhere between the two positions. Now, this is where compromise comes in, negotiations. And I know you've heard one of our senators talk at this very spot, talking about how compromise is very hard in our nation's capital because folks all kind of meet in the middle and then everybody's mad because nobody got everything they wanted. And so compromise doesn't happen very often. And I tell you, it's different in this body. And I know we had some consternation last year that how did you throw this together and that together and this together? And so there's a lot of deletes and further amends. And so there's a lot of meeting in the middle. Splitting the baby, sometimes giving up a House position to save another House position, and the Senate doing the same thing. So that's just the way the negotiations on it work. And we didn't get everything, every House position. They certainly didn't get every Senate position. And I hope to draw your attention to those as we go through. We'll divide this presentation up between the members on that joint conference committee. The first page I'll do is actually... So really to kind of show the ground rules on this, it's very simple. These were all identical amendments. And so there were six, I believe, House amendments that we adopted and some 12 Senate amendments. And then later in further pages where we were close, we adopted House amendments. But the first one, identical amendments, Mixed Martial Arts Board. The next one was repealed language on the wildlife trust projects. We adopted the House. They were identical. The third one, $150,000 to the University of Wyoming, effective immediately for the engineering for the engineering building. The next one is the BSL-3 lab, effective immediately. The next is $480,000 for senior centers. Those were identical, effective immediately. Local government distribution, where we ran $175 million through the old formula, 60-40, 60 direct distribution, 40 consensus CAPCON. We adopted the House position. Next, we adopted a Senate position, which required, which took away the requirement of reversion of balances in the air enhancement account, so they get to carry those funds forward. Both bodies passed that. We adopted the Senate. The next is Senate 207, $25,000 for the state coin. Next is Senate 2030. We moved money from the department out of a leadership salary to fund a tribal triad initiative and added a footnote. It was identical. We adopted the Senate amendment. Next is Senate 2040, Education Accountability, $35,000 for the Select Committee on Statewide Education Accountability, and change the sunset date to continue that work. Those are identical amendments. We adopted the Senate position. Next is Senate 2008, adds simply the Select School Facilities as a report recipient on the engineering technical. Again, identical, and we adopted the Senate position. Another identical, Senate 2037, the creation of maps, adds congressional references to the section. Next is Senate 2042, UW top-tier science program and facilities, the task force for developing a plan for the science labs and instructional areas and improving those spaces. That was identical language. We adopted the Senate. Next is Senate 2006, Department of Audit. Allows the agency to replace special revenue with general fund in the 17-18 because we simply move some from the collector's agency, reduce their budget, but we will allow them to come and ask for that budget once this one-time money is spent. Those are identical. We adopted the Senate. Another identical, third from the bottom, is Senate 2038, AML funding redirection. This saved $250,000 in general funds and allowed some prior authorized AMLs to be used that were for manufacture of glass products for the processing of rare earth materials. Senate 2022, $5.3 million to our community college commission for distribution throughout the system according to course completion. These were identical amendments adopted in Senate position. And then the final one on that page is Senate 3026, capital construction. For the approved projects on the community colleges, we allowed them to expend the amounts necessary, the amounts we appropriated. This was identical language, and we adopted the Senate amendment. Next, I'd like to turn the second page over to the good majority floor leader.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're now on page 2 of the cheat sheet, beginning at the top with the House Second Reading Amendment 14A. There was a Senate tweak to that we rejected, but we did modify it so that now we say that the deliverables worded in the amendment, the deliverables are as worded in the amendment, specify the second year of funds to be appropriated to the state auditor's office to be released upon satisfactory review of the deliverables and further action by the legislature. So I will take further action from us. Next is the Senate Second Reading Amendment 3A. The House position on that was not adopted. The Senate's was, and this adds 3,000 general fund to A&I and 2,000 general fund to DOT for purposes of opening the Capitol during Frontier Days. Then is House Second Reading Amendment 23 and Second Reading Amendment 70. Which apply to the Consumer Protection and Agriculture Department, and we've deleted and further amended on that to keep the report date adjustment from November to September and retain the footnote language of the House Second Reading of Amendment 70A, but keep the money in the programs in the Wyoming Business Council. Next is House Third Reading Amendment Number 9. Concerning criminal investigations, we deleted and further amended to cut the funding in half, still leaves $602,700 in there, and specify that at least one task force officer is assigned to the Internet Crimes Against Children Unit. Then we go to Senate Second Reading Amendment Number 5, and that was adopted. It adds a footnote requiring the agency to report to the legislature on conversion of the department to a paperless operation, and that is effective immediately. Then we adopted completely Senate Third Reading Amendment Number 1A, and that has to do with Section 331
to conform prior AML appropriations and correct timing issues for air quality activities funded by AML funds, which will be available in the second year of the biennium. Then we have Senate second reading amendment number 11 on aeronautics. We deleted and further amended that to reduce the funding by half to $250,000. We adopted the House second reading amendment number 22 in transportation and aeronautics, and we removed the requirement, the House did that, that the grants be awarded to those entities providing the highest match and the minimum match to be 1%. The Senate was very close to us on that. We adopted the House position. And finally, we left, as was Senate second reading amendment number 13, which modified footnote number 3 on the report of the Department on costs of air service provided to state agencies, including a cost-benefit analysis. So the report is due, but agencies do not have to budget to that cost until that report is made and we take further action.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Taking you over to page 3, the Senate third reading amendment number 2, we adopted this, added a footnote that requires the Department of Health to do a study to define the impact of independent hospitals, and we like their language, so we kept that. You'll see second reading amendment 16 from the House. We deleted. This was the $125,000 that we added in for the Lifesaver grant, so that was deleted out. On the next one, we deleted these two amendments, but it's really it ends up being the same position as we came out of here with. Remember, we had the amendment on second reading on PMOs that prohibited them. The third reading amendment came back and deleted that second reading amendment. So what you see here is essentially what we had when it left, when the budget left the House. On the next one, House third reading amendment number 10, we changed the language. Remember, on the public health laboratory, we had language that required them to make themselves available for DUI trials and to pay all their expenses for DUI trials. We deleted and further amended to eliminate that requirement that they cover the costs for all those trials, but they do, under the language, have to make themselves available for all DUI trials. On Senate third reading amendment number 29, this was one of those split the baby ones, the statewide health information exchange that was requested by the governor, $1 million. We denied it. They added it, and so we went back and deleted half the funding down to $500,000 for that initiative. On the next one, second reading amendment number 25, and this, if you want to see the language, is on page 6 of your JCC report. We had moved $500,000 from the outpatient beds to care for inpatient beds. The Senate did not do that. What we ended up doing is changing the language a little bit, that we still have the extra $500,000 for the inpatient beds, but what we required them to do is to take it from the entire substance abuse mental health budget rather than just the outpatient budget. So it gives them a much bigger budget to work within in order to find that $500,000. The House Amendment, Second Reading Amendment 26, we deleted and further amended. This was to make us make sure that the state was the payer of last resort for mental health services. What we did is we changed it a little bit and we delayed the effective date, essentially giving them a year notice that this was the policy. And so we delayed it to July 1st, 2015. So essentially they have a year, the mental health centers have a year to get ready for this change. We had House second reading amendment number 40 that we deleted. This was the one where we determined what the FTE to client ratio would be at the Life Resource Center. We deleted that provision. On Senate third reading amendment number 4, we adopted it. And this was, again, as we were looking at maintenance of effort, there was a provision requiring the Department of Health to do a look back to see if we complied, but the AG was supposed to as well. We limited that to a look back to 2013, and the reason we did that is
if the AG comes back and finds that we weren't in compliance, we essentially have to forward money to the federal government. It doesn't help the kids of the state of Wyoming. So we limited it to his look back to 2013, essentially, so we were not telling on ourselves all the way back to 2009. The next one, House Third Reading Amendment Number 7, we adopted. These were essentially identical amendments with just a little bit of language difference on getting that personally identifiable information to prevent double billing. So we went with the House position on that. Third Reading Amendment 15 from the House. This was the discussion we had on the footnote that allowed us to prorate if we didn't budget enough for the DD preschools. We went with the House position on that, which is deleting that footnote. And finally, at the bottom, House Third Reading Amendment Number 28, which you'll find on page 6 of your Joint Conference Committee report. We had budgeted $20,000 for a conference on DD Medicaid waiver. We halved that to $10,000.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Going to page 4 of your compromise cheat sheet, if you take the first two, you combine those together, what this does is it eliminates the House amendment on third reading and amends, which was 3205, amends it into House third reading 27. And the crux of it is you go to on the other side, you go to the last three lines. It takes those positions for the joint beds and says through the period ending June 2016, the department shall limit the overall capacity of the residence for treatment and group home beds to the number that shall not exceed the combined number of the certified beds from 2012. So we wanted to spread it around and not affect any individual entities. Then if you go down to the next one, this has to do with the father factor program. All we did was modify the language so that instead of the identifying one particular program for the father factor, we called it the fatherhood mentorship programs to be determined then by the Department of Family Services. Next, we go to, we deleted Senate File 2059, which had to do with a workers' compensation program with dealing with back injuries and how you implement that through the workers' compensation program. If you go down to the next level, this is, if you recall, the Wyoming Teacher Shortage Loan Program to provide loans to particular teachers. What this was a compromise. We cut the House by half, so it went from $330,000 down to $165,000. Next is the Public Television Program, which adopted the $110,000 for the Native American online education educational programming. Following up that on state lands, modifying footnote number 2, directing the department to study the best use of the fiber optic line owned by the state. This particular has to deal primarily with a line between here and Laramie that is a dark line not being used, and there are some other lines, but it's a mechanism to find out what the best use is and perhaps sell them or find a better or a use for property that we own. Then if you go to the next provision, really this is pine beetle. The only difference that we really did here was we spread out the funding over a two-year period. So it's still $2 million the first year to be expended immediately for pine beetle. And then on the second year, for the second $1 million, we allowed the governor to determine whether or not, and in fact, those funds would be needed and expended for pine beetle. Following after that, we modified footnote 5, deleting the subsection 4 for the corridor beautification. Following that, this has to do with the funding for court security. It looks complicated, but we really didn't do anything other than funded $6 million for two projects, one in Fremont County and one down in Sweetwater. And we moved dollars around to make those available for matching funds, beginning immediately and then going into the next biennium. And that's all there is on page number 5. Page number 4.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just so we all know we're in the right place, we're now on page number 5. The first action on page number 5 is deleting the Senate amendment for tourism funding and adopting the House position of $600,000 for the market expansion. The next series of deletes and further amends are truly various technical corrections to the University of Wyoming budget language to those amendments. And there's not anything particularly substantive in there. The next amendment, the Conference Committee adopted the House position, which is adding a footnote to the University of Wyoming budget to require a study of changes to assure that credits earned at a community college will transfer to UW and then can, and are also applicable to a specific degree. And then the next series of amendments is primarily moving some money around within the university budget, except for the first one, you'll recall that we had a discussion on the floor about providing incentives to the university for increasing enrollment rather than penalties. The penalty language remains excluded, and we've reduced the incentive funds to $1 million as part of the Joint Conference Committee report. The other change there simply moves $22,500,000 in for a literacy project into the endowment section.
Representative Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving on to page 6, the first line item is appropriating $2,000 for the annual Crab Fest at the Nichols Health. No, I guess that's not right. Continuing on with the University of Wyoming, this is the if you recall, we approved about $2.86 million for the UW Information Technology Enhancement Center. Fellows across the hall did not, and we compromised with them by funding it with $1.5 million and then requiring matching funds to be paid on a basically it's a monthly basis over the expenditure of the biennium. Next we have the this moves $8 million. This is Senate File 3008. We took $8 million from the state aid line, which is the new Tier 1 engineering system that we've over at UW, added a footnote requiring the UW to not reduce the internal support. So basically what we did was we created a system that says we're funding the UW for the Tier 1 engineering individually and not through the, not taking it kind of out of itemized block grant funding to know and assuring that those funds will be spent for the Tier 1 engineering program and not on other things. Then going down to the next box, I think you all recall this. If you recall, we started out with a $20 million of different separate funding for endowments through both UW and the community colleges. That was modified so that $5 million, that's the top line, appropriated to University for Endowment Challenge account to be matched by quality endowments beyond simply scholarships based upon plans approved by the Board of Trustees with emphasis on disciplinaries directly related to the Wyoming economy. In addition to that, so we took the $10 million and moved that down to $5 million, and then further on you'll see another $2 million for literacy, which was part of the total package and agreement. And then for the community colleges, that amount went from $10 down to $7.5 million with the same type of restrictions used for the endowment accounts divided equally among the colleges. So that's what that whole box is the overall compromise on those original accounts. Going down to the next line, which is Senate 2028. This has to do with the funding mechanism for the salaries for the investment manager for the retirement system. It was increased from $208,000 to $225,000. Essentially, we conceded to the Senate position on that particular item. Going down to the next item dealing with the Business Council and Investment Ready Communities. Essentially, with the JEC deleted and further amended to require the Wyoming Business Council to work with local governments organizing and coming up with a plan by September 1, 2014 on how to implement revolving loan programs in the local and state levels. Finally, we've got down, once this is also the Business Council, the JEC deleted and further amended to modify the language to allow loans as well as grants for all objects, as explained earlier by our good representative from Orland, to require the WBC to work with local governments, to include in the provisions that the governor receive the application for review and consideration before projects move forward. And the point of this is we kind of created a tiered review of the projects so that they don't fly into the Wyoming Business Council, get puffed up, and then we can't put the brakes on them. And we have independent review both by the governor's office and by the attorney general's office as kind of a step-by-step process on how those investment dollars are expended.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are now on the top of page 7 of your cheat sheet, and you'll see that we had on this side the amendment. Remember, we moved $4.1 million from community facilities into other funds for the Business Council, and we added a restriction that they would not be used for traditional business-ready community projects, and we accepted that amendment. The next one, Senate Third Reading Amendment Number 10, we added in a provision, and this is on page 11 of your Joint Conference Committee report. Again, this is another place where we added in the AG doing an upfront review of grant applications for projects, so we don't get to the end and have there be a legal problem. The Senate had an amendment that we did not see on this side, and that's Third Reading Amendment Number 13 that directed a study of the WAMI program to really look at this change in the reduction of a year at the University of Washington and moving it to the University of Wyoming. And this looks at that to make sure that that makes sense for our students. And so we adopted that amendment on Senate Reading Third Reading Amendment Number 14. This was a good chunk of the discussion we had, and this is on the ECA. And what we did ultimately, remember the House position was 1%, 1% plus paying all the retirement. We retained the 1% in the first year, and then the second percent, that was reduced to 0.65% essentially. And there was a lot of back and forth about how we got to that 0.65, but you'll see that the original Senate position was to reduce that by $8.2 million. Ultimately, the reduction was only $2.9 million, so the rest of that goes into the ECA. The narrative there on that line, you'll see it talks about it being directed only to employee salaries. That's not correct. It's treated just like every other ECA. It's granted to the districts for them as part of their block grants. So, and you will see, and I think the good chairman will talk about how we treated retirement on this here in just a little bit. The next one, House Third Reading Amendment Number 14. Remember, we had an amendment that prohibited expenditure of money to look at the next generation science standards. That language was tweaked a little bit, and you can find that on page 13 of your Joint Conference Committee report. But it does essentially what we had the House position was, which was to prohibit moving forward on those next generation science standards over the next year. And second reading amendment number 41 from the House. This was, remember, we had $250,000 for the board to continue to work with the Select Committee on Education Accountability. The Senate had zero. We ended up shaving $50,000 off of that, so there's now $200,000 in the budget for that work. Senate Third Reading Amendment Number 15, this is the CPR training. We defeated it on our side. They adopted it on the Senate side. The compromise position was to strip the money out and require a report this next year, just so we know really what high schools are doing around the state before we start spending money on that CPR training program. And then finally at the bottom, House Third Reading Amendment number 19. This was more technical correction than anything. We adopted the House position, but we amended to clarify that the additional money that Western Wyoming Community Colleges was using for their building, we put in the specific amount of private and local resource of $4.4 million.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 8 of your cheat sheet are all the budget balancers, and you'll recall that the House passed a budget balancer, and we talked about the main savings accounts that we had set up were Fire A. It was $19 million in that account, and then there was $30 million in the state construction account for these facilities, particularly those three that we all know about that are going to need some work. There was $30 million to start that. Then there was $100 million in the school foundation reserve account to start kind of getting ready for what we know is going to be the cessation of coal lease bonus payments. And then there was the $38 million payback to Water 3. And so those were kind of our main ones. And when we left here with our budget balancer, we had shaved a little bit out of each one of those. We'd shaved Fire A by about $4 million and then $5 out of each of the other accounts. Well, the Fire A bill did not pass. It died down the hall. And so that basically allowed, and it had a special tip going then. If Fire A did not pass, the $19 million for that bill would flow to the state facilities construction account for those three facilities that we're talking about. So that bill did not pass. It was used then. We had to move some from SIPA, some to general fund, and move it around a little bit. And that information, I think, is on, I can look it up. I was just reading. I think it's on page 14 is where it's at, kind of the middle to the bottom of 14. But here's where it stands. Every account leaves exactly the same as where we started. The Water 3 was paid back, $38 million, the full $38 million. The School Foundation Reserve account was $100 million. And the one that increased was the state facilities construction for those three facilities. When we started, the budget was 30. It leaves in this conference committee report at 35.7. Okay, so all those were paid back. And that is really the entire page down to, that is House 3040A and the big block there that was deleted and further amended. The deletion of House 2046, delete and further amend of House 3044, and delete of Senate 3016. All that action that I described, and is in about the bottom half of the page on page 14 of your conference committee report to read that language. And then finally on page 8, House 2006, the auditor requested to carry over some unspent funds of $160,000 for basically this financial advisory board to work at making that office more efficient for state government. And we allowed half of that amount to carry over, $80,000. The rest will revert to the general fund. The top of page 9 is the final piece to the K-12 salaries. And you'll recall that when it left this house, both on the state employees, the 10,000-11,000 state university community college, and the 17,000 K-12 employees, we were going to pay the employee share of the retirement cost. We had an amendment in here to take that out. It was unsuccessful. We went to the Senate. So this was a major issue in how we did this. So basically where this came out, there was $12 million, I'll round it to $12 million for K-12 retirement payments. That was divided into equal amounts per year of $6 million and $6 million, which is, and it's specifically for salaries only. And there is language in the second year that says this money will be available only if districts pay the amount, have employees pay the amount the same as state employees do, which will be like a 2.17% at that point. And so we went back and forth. We eventually adopted this position, so it was a delete and further amend of a Senate position. So that $6 million in each year, which is specifically goes to salaries, equals about a 0.6 ECA if you were going to roll it into that salary component. So overall, K-12 has a 1% ECA the first year, a 0.65% the second year, and then two $6 million salary components, which when looking at those is about another 0.6 ECA if you look at the retirement piece. And then I'd like to turn the rest of that page over to the good Majority Whip.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we're on middle of page nine. There's a series of amendments there you see, starting with House Second Reading Amendment number 56. And this deals with the State Facilities Task Force that we structured in the budget. And the Senate had a little bit different language. And we worked, I think, ultimately it's a much better structured task force with the Joint Conference Committee position. But we... So they had added in some additional money, $275,000. We shaved that down by $50,000, so there's $225,000 now appropriated for the work of the task force. But we also changed the structure and the leadership of the task force a little bit. Really, they made good arguments that this needs to be, at this point, an executive-driven initiative as we're looking at what needs to be done, and ultimately we'll step in after they're done with that work and figure out how to fund it and what we want to do moving forward. But recognizing that really executive leadership role, we determined that the governor will determine the chair of the task force. We changed the structure a little bit so that there were four legislative and four gubernatorial appointments, and then, in addition, they have that $225,000 in to complete their work. On the next one, remember, we did some work where we captured some AML money that had been in the for CO2 sequestration over at the university and directed $1 million of that to arts and sciences. We ended up deleting that provision, and I'll just tell you the background. As we worked and really fought for the early childhood education programs down here at the bottom, that was one of the things that we lost as a result of those discussions. On the Senate side, second amendment number second reading amendment 39 on the cease and transfer, they had some language tying expenditures to Senate file 43 in the priority list in there, and we agreed with that. We thought that was a good addition. And then down on second reading amendment, House second reading amendment number 33, early childhood programs. Again, this is one we really fought for to try. The Senate had defeated this pretty handily. But what we ended up with, there were that early childhood program, as we passed it out of here, had two components. One was a $300,000+ to really consolidate efforts around the state. The second was $665,000 as a grant program. So what we did as a compromise is we removed that first part of the program, the $330,000+ for that consolidation piece, but we left the grant program in place and the administrative piece in place. And so ultimately we got the footnote through in a pared-down version with $740,000 in funding. And if you want to see the language of what actually came through, it's on pages 32 to 33 of your Joint Conference Committee report.
Mr. Majority, floor leader.
We have combined now on page 10 of 10. At the top, we have a combined consideration of House Second Reading Amendment number 39 and House Third Reading Amendment number 3. The net result of this is there's no state funds, federal funds is necessary, and two Homeland Security positions that are at will, and made the section effective immediately. The next section is House Third Reading Amendment number 34 concerning Medicaid expansion. And there were three fundamental changes here, which can be found on pages 35, 36, and 37 of the Joint Conference Committee report. Paragraph A was changed to May, then paragraph 7 had a change, and paragraph 11 had a change. Finally, on House Third Reading Amendment number 45, We basically adopted the House position, and that combined all the energy initiatives and a bunch of funding, pulled it all together, and that can basically be found on pages 22 through 32 of the Joint Conference Committee report.
You've heard the description of the Joint Conference Committee report. Is there any discussion? Chairman Gingrey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just needed some clarifications on a few. And I know there's a bill up later today on general file on court security, but could someone walk us through the court security part again? And if the bill dies on general file, does that mean the funding goes through anyway? I'm just curious, do we still need the bill? So it looks like they're funding it in the budget. And I was just curious how that worked with those two counties. Sweetwater and Fremont appeared to be getting a second courthouse, and I was just curious how that works. And then my other question, we deleted on this side footnote 12 to the Department of Health, which was that payment of last resort for mental health services. Since our current system uses a contract system, we pay per a formula. It says we're going to delay it till July 1st of 2015, which is going to be a major shift in how you fund mental health in the state. Is someone taking that up as an interim topic? Is that something appropriations going to take on? Is that something labor's taking on? Because presently, that's not how they do it. I mean, they get a contract and they work off of that contract. If you're going to go to a last resort payment system, a fee for service essentially, that's a substantial change, and I'm just curious how we're going to gear up for that change. And then lastly, I was just curious. I missed it when the good chairman of appropriations was talking. Did Fire A, it doesn't have anything in it now. We had 19, and now it goes to zero. I wasn't sure how that one worked. And those were all my questions. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to review that protocol that we've followed over past years on the external cost adjustment for schools. And I guess the thing I really want to know is if this result that the Joint Conference Committee came up with is consistent with the Joint Education Committee's, I think they send a notice or a letter or something to the Joint Appropriations Committee to that this is what their ECA is determined to be, and I just need some more specific information of how what actually turned out in this joint conference report, if it's consistent with the ECA as determined by whatever research they do in the Joint Education Committee.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we can, just a little more clarification for me as well on that fund that was deleted on Fireman's A. I thought I understood that to be $19 million and that had been further to go into the capital facilities program for those. But then the final number I think that he talked about was only $5 million going back into that capital facilities, and I was just wondering how, maybe if you could just give me a page reference that I could understand that, I'd appreciate it.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the Medicaid expansion, you know, we had a bill within a footnote, and now we have an expanded bill within the conference committee, so I believe that we need to hear more about what the specifics of that program is going to entail. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Madam Minority, floor leader, just strolling. Representative Patton, let's get all the questions out, and then we'll have the appropriations folks answer. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 5 of the report, dropping down to the funds for education, It appears that we've reduced the amount, playing word games, it looks like, from 9/10 to 9/100 on the enrollment general funding there by $4 million. Would it be possible that we get the figure? How much did we finally actually include in the budget? Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just would like some clarification on H-2040A, requiring the Department of Health to achieve a FTE client ratio of not more than 3.85.1 at the Wyoming Life Resource Center. I'd just like to hear some discussion as to why that was completely stricken.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And can we just have a little bit more information when we go back home to talk to our school boards and school districts regarding what should be the expectation regarding kind of salary increases in retirement? I know you gave us the 1% and the 0.6%, but a little bit more clarity would be useful.
Anyone else with questions for the conference committee? Anyone else for their first time? Anybody on the conference committee want to answer questions? Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I tried to write on these down quickly. The first question, I believe, was from the representative from Teton about the $6 million for the courts. And if the bill dies, there is still $6 million for court security. And the bill seems to be progressing through here, but the $6 million is still in the budget for court security, regardless whether the bill survives or not. So it's not like Fire A. The bill goes away, the money goes away. This money is still there for court security. Okay, so that was the first question.
I think
I'm still on my second
time.
Is that right? Or first time. Let me, if I could, just finish my first time and then add to that. So that was that part. The other piece is that the mental health about interim topics on really getting ready for this change in the payment structure of last resort. That's why we moved the date back, was really to give 1 year to kind of gear up. So it wasn't 5 months till July. It was going to give them till a year and 5 months to gear up for that. The question was on the JEC recommendation for ECA, and I think the very first JEC said 2%. And remember, there's four components to the ECA. There's certified salary, which was 2.09 of that recommendation. There was classified, which was like 1.9. I'm rounding numbers. And then there was materials, was like a 1%. And then energy was actually a negative. And so when you round all that together, we called it the common 2% ECA. Okay, and so some of you got emails early on, where's the 2.09? Well, that was just one component of the 2% ECA. Okay, so that was the recommendation to the Joint Appropriations Committee. Actually, it was a 2 and then a consideration of another ECA in the second year, possibly 2. What we did in Joint Appropriations initially was 2, and then that was was changed to a 1 and a 1 that did not compound, and that saved about $3 million. And then similar to state employees, with the governor's recommendation, he had 2.5 and paying the salary benefits of increases employee contributions. We also added that on the school side, increased employee retirement contributions. And so then throughout the whole process, where we're at today with state employees is the retirement money to fund increases was removed into salaries, so that's about a 2.4% pay raise the first year, which will compound to about a 2.5% pay raise the second year. Might be a little less, might be 2.35 and 2.46 or something, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood on the state university employees. Community college is a little different. Remember, we just did 1 year, and that was the governor's rec, our rec. But remember now, we've added, goodness, what was it, $9 million plus $5.3 million into their general operating fund, which much of that can be used for salaries. So That's really where state employees are at, about a 2.4 the first year, will compound up to closer to a 2.5 the second year. Now on K-12, really what this works out to be is about a 1.6% ECA the first year, because we took that $12 million that was going to retirement and divided it out. That'll sustain, and then the second year's ECA, it's the 1% plus about a 1.65, let's just call it 0.6. So overall, you're going to have about a 1.6 the first year and about a 2.2 the second year ECA for employees. That's how that's working. And there's some language in there, though, that says that K-12 employees have to pay the same rate as state employees on retirement, which will be about that 2.1%. Some language, whether it means anything or not, saying this has got to be looked at when you consider future ECAs. And so that's where that came out. The next question was on Fire A and what happened to that money. It was initially left this house that if Fire A died, and we reduced that amount because we changed the bill to a 15-year, not a 10-year payout. But so it was $15.7 million when it left the house. And if that bill died, that $15.7 million would go to the state construction account for these three facilities in the Department of Health. Okay, so that bill did die, but in the budget balancers that we had done, we had nicked a few other accounts, Water 3 and the School Foundation reserve account. And so we made those accounts whole, and we added then $5.7 million to the beginning number of state construction account. So once again, I believe that number is 35.7. It left here in the House of Representatives at 30 million even. And now in this budget, it's 35.7. And then 100 million for the school foundation reserve account, and 38 million payback to Water 3, just like we really started some time ago, a month ago. I did not get the question written down. The good representative, the gentle lady from Campbell County, I just didn't get it written. I just missed it. I know you asked, and I didn't get it, so I apologize. On the expansion, and I might have another member. I might have the good majority whip answer the questions. There was questions on the Medicaid expansion. The good chairman of revenue asked a question. I'm not sure if I got it, but I did write down why the funding ratio to the state training school in Lander was taken out, the House position of 3.8. And you remember in the budget we gave in the JAC the option for them to use severance buyouts of these folks to reduce that funding ratio. And so in talking on the Joint Conference Committee, we decided to let that system roll first. We've already got that going. We're going to meet where it's all moving forward. Some of these we think are obviously got all these buildings spread out. There's like 9 groundskeepers in that budget. Well, we hope to kind of as we consolidate and knock down old buildings and maybe build one nice new one, whatever the plan will be, that we will kind of reduce that as we go. So that's where I ended. And my majority whip, I think, could answer a couple questions on expansion. Thank you.
Madam.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. There was one more question from the good representative from Sheridan said that it looked like a cut of $4 million. On page 5 of your cheat sheet. And remember the governor's recommendations had inaccurate enrollment data and the old Craig forecast. And so what this is a technical correction. There was no cut to the formula or to enrollment or anything else. It's just using updated enrollment and updated Craig forecast. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'm going to try and answer the Medicaid expansion questions. The sponsor of the Medicaid expansion amendment on this side, the good representative from Campbell County, did sit in on our discussions and consult with the members of the Senate who made some tweaks to our budget amendment. I guess I'd say it's different in style, maybe a little bit, switching from maize to shells, or sorry, shells to maize. But substantively, it's not dramatically different. I don't think it's actually different at all than what we came out of here with. So hopefully that answers some of the questions. It is still essentially is a program that requires or that allows the governor, the insurance commissioner, and the director of the Department of Health to negotiate a program, a Medicaid expansion program for Wyoming, with a number of key considerations about cost sharing, premium assistance, et cetera. And then ultimately, this body has to approve the program. So it's still basically the same approach that was in the budget, our budget amendment.
Chairman Harvey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. My question goes to page 3 in the cheat sheet. The House Amendment 26, Behavioral Help, it deletes footnote 12 for payment of last resort by mental health services, and then the committee decided to keep that, but to delay the effective date to July of 15. In the Labor Committee, when we heard about the proposals for behavioral health and mental health services and the contracts, what was envisioned by the Department of Health is that we would do a straight Medicaid expansion. There are a lot of people that use those mental health services that are indigent, that would be homeless, they serve people that are homeless, and just kicking that back until 2015 without the Medicaid expansion, you don't receive any of the savings that the Department of Health envisioned, because what they were going to do were cut the grants to the mental health providers, knowing with mental health parity that they would be able to pay for those services through the Medicaid program. And so I this one concerns me a little bit, because I think you're going to put your community providers in jeopardy if their contracts change July 1st of 2015. Then, and we don't accept Medicaid in our next general session, then those contracts, according to this footnote, need to be cut, because you're going for a fee-for-service instead of global service under a contract for the mental health providers. And so those two things happening in contrast with each other are leading to a train wreck for people who don't have private health insurance or cannot pay independently for mental health services.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a further question on the Medicaid expansion part. And I do remember from the debate, that was one of the last amendments we did, and my memory is kind of foggy of all the specific details that day. But from page 10 of the cheat sheet, when it's giving the summary, it says in here, allowing expansion program to occur without a specified sunset date. So I thought my understanding from the last speaker was that we still have to approve it, but this makes it sound like it can be the expansion can be implemented without our approval, and so I'm a little confused there and would like a little bit of clarification. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe I'll just fill in a couple of the gaps and the more recent questions. First of all, on that last question, the Medicaid expansion, the language, and if you look, it's at the very end of your Joint Conference Committee report, and it's very clear that nothing happens unless this body approves a Medicaid expansion. So it simply gives a year, and gives the governor permission to move forward and to negotiate along the terms that are dictated out in that amendment, but it, nothing happens until we're done. The other thing that I think is noteworthy about and that we really had a lot of discussion on, and I think the good minority floor leader said this is very similar to the amendment that came through here, but the, one of the prime points of discussion was, as it came out of here, the general direction was Medicaid expansion should not happen unless we can do it within current state budget and current funds. Essentially, these projected savings that we would get must be used to fund the program and nothing more. And that really was a lot of the discussion with the folks down the hall and how we make that clear, how we make that certain within the amendment. And so the sense and the purpose as it, as the amendment came out on this floor remains the same, but the language, we tweaked it to give them some comfort that that was the case through this amendment. So, but again, bottom line, nothing happens until and unless we approve something next session. On the ECA, I wanted to, and then I lost my place. There were some questions on how it plays moving forward, and the good chairman mentioned this, but I direct your attention to page 12 of the Joint Conference Committee report in line B, and it talks about how this ECA, this 1% this year and the 0.65 next year, is to be considered because, as the good chair of revenue pointed out, there is a process that every year we get a recommendation on whether there should be an ECA or not and what that amount should be. And what this says is that the amount of the external cost adjustment should not, it shall be deducted essentially from a computed ECA in the future. And really, you can ask yourself whether that does anything or not because of course, in considering the ECA, the JEC and others will know that that's the case, and so you would maybe anticipate that if they think there should be an ECA, that they just move it up 0.65 so that it's, you know, this is deducted. So I'm not sure that this really, in the long term, does anything, but it made our friends down the hall feel better, so that's a good thing, I think. And then finally, the payer of last resort, the discussion, and there's clearly a lot of issues to be worked out, but the other half of this is in private payer, you know, there were a lot of insured folks that didn't have mental health care coverage or substance abuse coverage under their existing policies, and that has changed under the ACA. So aside from Medicaid, there are concerns to be dealt with here, but obviously the world's going to look different in a year, and that's one reason we set it out until July 1st, 2015. That we can, if we look like we're going to do something on Medicaid next time around, that can play into this, and if we aren't, that can play into this. But we now have that time to continue to evaluate it for a year.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just for everyone's clarification, what I think what we'll do or try to do is we'll prepare a one-page handout on the ECA with and wrap in the retirement and wrap in for both state employees. And we'll also, for the state employees' retirement, we'll have what we did the last year and in prior years for adding into the retirement account and what the payout is and the matching and then and the sequence of how we started, we paid part of it, and now they have to start catching up and paying part of it. So we'll do a one-page handout for everyone that, so that's kind of as succinct and as clear as possible. It's still confusing to me as I go back and read through it and hear the various speakers speak about it, so hopefully that will help you a lot. And just one other clarification on the court security. We have Senate File 14, which is on general file today. And that's a bill that originally in the Senate that put $10 million into this new court security entity, which will then be funded, and the board of folks will go around and determine the need and distribute the money as much as possible on a need basis and a cost basis between the counties around the state just to improve court security systems. What we did in JAC is we said, well, hold it. We don't want to, number one, and they funded it with $10 million. So in JAC, we stripped that $10 million out of it. So at the bill as you have it now, which will come up on general file, has zero fund dollars to it. But then we put in $6 million into to this bill for two particular projects. One was the one in the land of the Big Wind River where there was a bullet hole that went through the courthouse there, and they had to put barricades all the way around it because they need immediate assistance to fix that problem. And they have another large problem down in the, where the water is sweet that has immediate problems. So they said, let's take care of these two problems. They're kind of a bigger issue, and it was kind of the impetus of the direction of creating this court security fund, and we'll, and that has to be matching dollars, so we'll fund that, and then we'll come back next year or the next year and work with in moving in a more scheduled process on how we fund court security around the state, if we do and if this body approves it.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. First time going once. First time going twice. Anybody for their second time? Representative Patton, are you coming up for your first time? Oh, I guess it is your second time. Your second time. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one quick question. I presume that it's a done deal and we're not going to do anything about it, but it seems odd to me because it can't be for financial reasons that we cut the Aeronautics Commission by $250,000 with the request was $500,000. And what we're talking about is air service improvement. That air service improvement happens to apply to the entire state, not just one shot with one community. We're going to have a loan or whatnot to one business and yet cut back on something that's as important economically to the economy and the development of the diversification of the economy in the state, and we cut it by a lousy $250,000. Other than that, there's a lot of good work that's been done. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to say that the comments that I made about the mental health systems, I'm still going to vote aye on this budget. I still think that we've done a lot of good things, and I appreciate the work of the Joint Appropriations Committee. I just want you to know that next session there will be a little bit more work to try and make that even out, and wanted to get you prepared for that. But I think that this is, for the most part, a good compromise, and I'm an aye vote on the bill.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To wrap up the last couple questions, the cut on the $250,000 to air service enhancement. Remember, the House position was $500,000 cut, and so we moved from the House position to a halfway point on that, and then also allowed the $1.6 million that is going to revert back into that fund. So that was a real movement from the House position. Then the last thing I just want to point out, Mr. Speaker, was to the good representative from Casper who asked about the Medicaid expansion. And I just wanted to point out specifically on page 35 of your conference committee report, and it's at the last sentence on Romanet 1 or Romanet I, and that it says until approved by the legislature. And then I'd say also the real change from the House amendment was really a move from, there were a lot of shalls in the House amendment, and many of those have been moved to mays, including the commanding the governor. It's gone from a shall to a may. So with that, I'd urge your adoption. I don't think any of us got all we wanted. I'd certainly like a few redos, but this is where we're at today, and appreciate everybody's help and really the whole body's work on this budget. I think we really made it better and got a pretty good product. And we'll come back next year with some money on the table, depending on what happens with court security and a few other bills. Hopefully, we can come back with about $13 million on the table, and if cold winter keeps going, maybe the Craig forecast will get adjusted in October and come back with even a little more. So, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report 2, House Bill 1. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickry.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
nope.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Yep.
Wilson.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 ayes, 16 no.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 1. Congratulations to the members of the Appropriations Committee and the That was a long and winding road to get to that conference committee report, wasn't it? We're now at that order of business of third reading, bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the third reading consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate File 3, Senate File 4, Senate File 5, Senate File 21, Senate File 53, Senate File 57, Senate File 58, Senate File 59, Senate File 66, Senate File 74, Senate File 76, and Senate File 93.
Having been read three separate times, or does anybody want to remove any of the bills from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Reading Clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 3 from the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school facilities be enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 4 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 5 from the Education Committee, an act relating to teachers, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 21 from corporations, an act relating to insurance, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 53 from Senator Case, an act relating to trade practices, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 57 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to boards and commissions, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 58 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Governor's authority, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 59 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to highway signage, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 66 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 74 from Senator Landon, an act relating to unemployment compensation, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File number 76 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to unemployment compensation, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. Senate File 93 from Senator Hines, an act relating to fuel tax, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 3, are there any changes? Piperinen, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 18 no. As to Senate File 4, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 5, are there any changes? Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Freeman, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Kasparik, aye to no. Mater, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 18 no. As to Senate File 21, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 53, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 57, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 58, are there any changes? Reeder, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Mater, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 17 no. As to Senate File 59, are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As to Senate File 66, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 74, Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 76, are there any changes? Blake? Aye to no. Campbell? Aye to no. Filer? Aye to no. Esquivel? Aye to no. Connolly? Aye to no. Byrd? Aye to no. Throne? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 7 no. As to Senate File 93, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 3, 4, 5, 21, 53, 57, 58, 59, 66, 74, 76, and 93 have passed the House. With that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills, the first message for our consideration is message number 217 on House Bill 43. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with message number 217, which goes to House Bill 43, Children in Need of Supervision Age. The only thing the Senate did, they thought it was such an important bill, they thought it shouldn't wait till July 1st, and then it should go into effect immediately. I would urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time. We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 43. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles, Goggles, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Mater,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Goggles, Goggles excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 43. The next order of business is signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act 21, being original House Bill 25.
Enrolled Act number 21 from the original House Bill number 25, an act relating to embalmers, funeral directors, undertakers, and crematories.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 21, being original House Bill 25. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act 22, being original House Bill 32.
Enrolled Act number 22 from original House Bill number 32, an act relating to snowmobiles.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 22, being original House Bill 32. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess until 2 o'clock p.m.
Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, shall meet right now with our like counterparts down the hall and discuss interim topics.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 10, Joint Labor, will meet upon adjournment with a like committee from the other end to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow morning at 8:45 in H-17. I'll have a meeting with our counterparts down the hallway to talk about interim topics.
Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee will meet for just a brief moment upon adjournment in H-1.
You have heard the motion to recess until 2 o'clock. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, House is in recess.